Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. It's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so if you swing on over there, you can catch up on the one that went up yesterday. And hey, you just never know what might pop up over there. So you should always kind of check that out. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. Don't forget there's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with C. Which
I
go in and update or re-edit your blog from yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't know if I'll edit it at all. It can kind of stay like it is, but yeah, I goofed up Dan's record. He was actually 14-1 for the week last week. I had him at 13-2, and for some reason, even though I wrote it down correctly, I guess I was just kind of assuming the Bears would lose, and I actually crossed it off as a loss for you. That's where I got the second loss. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. Well, you know, just one of those things.
Your retraction or your update in Saturday's blog.
Yeah, you know, it got the better of me somehow. I rarely do that, but it was just one of those odd things that happen from time to time. So it's a good thing you had the Google Sheet to double check that. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have noticed. So,
yeah.
You know, but, I was starting off here, Dan. I realized, you know, I missed the best part of the World Series last night. You know, by the time I went to bed, it was 1-0 Houston. And it really was looking like it was settling into a pitcher's duel. I mean, Rich Hill was a little up and down, but he was continuing to find his way out of trouble. And Verlander looked fantastic. You know, I only got to see about 3 or 3.5 innings. You know, I woke up thinking, okay, let's, you know, catch up on the score, see what happened. I figured I was going to get a 3-2 game or something like that going on. And I hear 7-6 in 11 innings. And I'm like, wait, what happened to the great Dodger bullpen? And I guess it just wasn't so great last night, huh?
Well, I mean, when you push Kenley Jansen to 6 outs, if you would have seen him in the 8th inning, he was spectacular. He was dropped whatever you want to say. You know, he's a shutdown. There you go. You know, shutdown closer in the 8th inning, but they had one home run slip up in the 9th, and then we got a tie game. You know, it was
finish your thought before I ask you the next question.
I mean, you had brought it up yesterday, you know, kind of what direction are they going to go in and how is their field going to be, and I felt he could have gone another inning. So did he, if you could see by his reaction in the dugout after being pulled. And, it was Robert overmanaging, overcoaching.
Yeah, that kind of leads to my question was, did he study Joe Maddon's tapes from last year? Because Rich Hill goes just 4 innings, throws just 60 pitches. You know, gave up 3 hits, just the 1 run. He did walk 3, but he struck out 7. So he was finding ways out of trouble. Then you go to Kenta Maeda, and you only use him for an inning and a third when you could get two or three innings out of this guy. Did they forget he's a starter? You know, so when I'm kind of looking at this game, I really think this is all on Dave Roberts, and he choked this game away for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Big time. I mean,
so
you had, you know, you had, well, maybe I was wrong with Kenta or not Kenta, Kenley. I just decided to go to bed. But, you know, Yasiel kind of came through and tied it up, and, you know, they kind of went back and forth. So, you know, like I said, I went to bed after the top of the ninth. But, I mean, it was just, like you said, I mean, Kenta Maeda could have stayed in for a full two innings. Ross Stripling came in, walked the guy, was taken out immediately. I'm like, how many pitchers do you have left? You know,
because, you know, if you start to look at it, you know, if you look at it, if Hill gives you five and Maeda gives you two, well, now you've shortened the game and you don't need to try to force Kenley Jansen to go two innings. You know, this is very much similar to how Madden burned up Aroldis Chapman last year, and it almost cost the Cubs the World Series. You know, now it's cost the Dodgers one game, and they have to go to Houston where the Astros play fantastic at home. You know, thinking back, I don't even know if they've lost a postseason game there yet. So, you know, now you're asking the Dodgers to go and win at least one to get it back to L.A. And, I mean, I really think Dave Roberts could have given the series away right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was one of the things brought up yesterday was the fact that, and you could, I could be wrong on my numbers, but it was something like the Dodgers were 8-0 at home this postseason, and the Astros were 9-0 at home. I mean, the Astros haven't lost at home at all this postseason, and the Dodgers gave up one. So they absolutely need to win at least one game to bring it back home.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, your guy Tony Watson rolled in, and he did a nice job. He got his two outs. You know, when Josh Fields came in, he was just horrible. You know, Tony Cingrani settled it down a little bit, but Brandon McCarthy was bad on top of bad as well. You know, the Astros, again, they turned to Ken Giles to close the door, and he can't do it. You know, can they continue to run with this guy? I mean, they have Luke Gregerson, who has, I believe, multiple 30-save years under his belt. Can you keep running Giles out there and just watching him give away lead after lead, you know, if you're the Astros?
Not if you want to, you know, get, be the, would you say, sixth or seventh coach to get the axe after the season's over? I don't think so. And,
yeah.
And that was the other thing. When the eighth inning hit, I thought, I just automatically, I'm like, all right, Cingrani's coming in. We're going to get out of this inning. We're going to go into the ninth. Kelly's going to shut it down, and I'm going to go to bed by 10:30. I still went to bed by 10:30, but.
Except the game wasn't over. And there you go. There you go, Fox. You like to start these games later, so eat it that the game ran long and nobody saw the end of it. You know, maybe the people on the West Coast were still up watching the Dodgers lose, but nobody from, you know, mine and, you know, Dan and mine's time zone or on the East Coast were up to see the end of this game. So, you know, I'm glad you're cashing your money and you're getting those big sponsor fees, but you ain't doing anything to help the game, guys. Sorry. But now, you know, this is another one of those stigmas that I just have to ask you about. You know, I'm trying to remember who hit the fly ball, but there was a little, like, hooking flare down the right field line by one of the Astros. And, I don't even know how Puig got as close to this ball as he got, but he went, literally, it seemed like, multiple football fields, made the big dive. It actually went off his glove and bounced into the stands, and he got up and he was upset and he slammed his glove on the ground. Now, the weird thing, and I'm guessing it just goes to his reputation, nobody focused on the great effort and play he just made, Dan. All I heard about was the fact that he got up and acted like a little leaguer and slammed his glove on the ground. Do these idiots realize that it's the World Series?
No, I mean, you know, that's one of the things I think you would get a little bit of joy out of, which you normally wouldn't, being as Joe Buck's in the box. But, you know, we've talked about this before. Buck and Aikman cannot stand it. I can't even watch the game. Joe Buck and Schmaltz, I don't even notice that it's Joe Buck. And, you know, they were probably the only ones. Sometimes I can't tell the difference between their voices, but they were probably the only ones that didn't get all over Puig. They made honestly, the way Puig ran, he made it look like that was easy, the distance he ran. And, you know, Buck and Smoltz brought up the fact that, you know, don't forget that this kid just ran 50 plus feet in a matter of seconds and, you know, dove for it. I think if he would have extended himself just a little bit more, he could have caught that ball. But, you know, the best thing for it to happen to him at that position was for that ball to go out of play so it doesn't end up being a triple. But, you know, and Joe and John were the ones making the point in the booth that, you know, he's got the right to be upset. And then, you know, they showed him afterwards for a couple minutes, you know, not even a couple minutes, and then that was pretty much the end of it. They didn't really get down on Puig. They just talked about his emotion and, you know, that, you know, the amazing the ground he covered and what he covered. And so, you know, they weren't all over him, which, you know, you kind of would expect Buck to be, but if it were Buck and Aikman, yeah, they would have been all over it.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, it was just an amazing effort. And then again, you know, we move into the stupidity of the sabermetric realm. You know, they set it up on StatCast. I don't know if you saw this, but when, you know, you have StatCast, they have a catch probability. Now, I've seen the play and I know the answer, so I'm going to go to you first. What do you think the StatCast probability of making that catch was? Obviously, it's between 1 and 100.
20%?
Yeah, they're actually a little higher than that. They gave him a 34% chance to make that catch. Now, obviously, these are definitely people who have never played baseball, because as far as he had to run with the ball tailing away from him, yeah, 15 to 20% would be on the high side of making that catch. If he would have came down with that ball, it's one of the all-time greatest catches in World Series history. You know, granted, I understand he's not running away from the plate with his back to the wall like Willie Mays is, but with the ground he covered and, you know, just the effort he gave, if he comes up with that ball, it's an incredible play. And they're like, yeah, well, he had a 34%. What are you talking about? You guys have obviously never played the game. You know, I was a bad right fielder for a while, and I know there's no way in hell that 34% chance, you know, my hiney, it was 15 to 20 at the most that he was going to get there. And it, you know, not a third of a chance, but more like a, you know, a fourth or a fifth. And it was just awesome, you know. And then to deal with, I watched, you know, they show the highlight first before any of the mouth breathers on television start talking. I thought, oh man, that was a great play. He just missed it. And then the first thing they say is, well, yeah. And then he throws his glove down like a little leaguer. Well, yeah, I'd have been ticked off too, man. It's the World Series, idiots. it seems like more and more we're getting television coverage by people who have zero idea of what the game is actually about.
Well, you know, it was kind of like we talked about the suit thing, you know, watching the mothership with all the suits. You know, the way the game, and because of the way the NFL dictates everything, is you're just supposed to show up and play the game. You're not supposed to have emotions. You're just supposed to be 100% robot the entire time.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of upsetting when I, you know, I hear that kind of crap, and it's like, you know, there's no reason you can't get caught up in the excitement of what he just did. You know, I mean, it was just, an incredible effort. And, that's all they needed to say. They'd have said, man, just look at the fantastic effort he gave. And, he was upset that he didn't make the play. You didn't have to point out, that he threw his glove down or that he was a little leaguer or however you want to express it. It was just kind of like, that's all you had to say. But no, they had to point out, all that crap. And I get it. It's his reputation, but it's just irritating at that point. Cause it's the World Series. It's not June 1st.
Yeah. You're just, like I said, not allowed to have emotions in the game today. And, that's one of the things a lot of, I don't mean to generalize, but a lot of the things with the Latin American players are bringing to the game. Where the Americans don't do anything because they're so accustomed to this Victorian-esque, pull up your ass kind of thing. And it gets a little old. You should be allowed to have fun. You should be allowed to have emotion.
Yeah, obviously, we've seen guys like, Bryce Harper show his emotions and stuff. And I think as the game gets younger, we'll see a little more and more of that. But, is it going to be the situation where this is just going to follow him his whole career, you think?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think the whole, just the gloves thing. But, I was going to bring that up yesterday, the fact that it's amazing how he went from completely being dogs in this league, getting sent down to the minors, really turned it up for him or turned it on for him. And he learned to kind of adapt and learn to be a part of, be a part of the team. And I think that's what he wants, is to be a part of the team. Good for him that Zach Greinke left LA, but, if it was that big of a deal, wouldn't Kershaw be on the mic or in the press? We don't ever hear anything out of Kershaw. That's why I believe that even though Greinke might have had his issues with Puig, I still think he's kind of a little bit of an egomaniac where he wanted to be the number one and he didn't like being number two behind Kershaw.
Maybe it was just a situation where, those two just didn't get along. Obviously with all the different personalities, you're going to have guys that just don't get along. So, it could have been, it could have been one of those situations. But yeah, you made a great point. This was a guy who was in AAA last year and they wanted to get rid of him all off season and couldn't find any takers. I'm sure there's some teams right now that are kind of kicking themselves for not, going out and swinging that deal and having a young, franchise, literally face of the ball club that you could build around.
One of the things that was brought up by him, or brought up about him from, I believe it was actually Joe and Buck, or John and Buck, was the fact that everyone kind of forgets, and not just him in general, but a lot of these young guys in general, that everyone forgets that, these guys aren't, 35-year-old men. They're coming in 19 years old. And, think about Yasiel Puig. He was living in Cuba. You brought it up a year ago or whenever you did about the fact that the Cuban national team makes like $6 a year or a week or, some ungodly number, some unjustly number. And, he goes from that to being smuggled into the United States or out of Cuba from, some mafioso drug cartel from Mexico, so I'm assuming that's what it is, and then comes here, he's making millions of dollars. We had the issue with him speeding down in, I believe it was Florida, in his car, and I think everyone forgets that he literally went from nothing to having millions of dollars, and then you're asking a kid to mature in a matter of like a year. Well, now you're a pro Major League Baseball player, so you're expected to be a mature 35-year-old, even though you're 20, in your 20s.
Yeah. It's the things we do here. That's just how it's
Yeah.
supposed to go.
Or, if you want to compare him to, like you brought up Bryce Harper, even, Chris Bryant, think about how they were rated. Completely
Yeah.
different. I mean, I don't know if Bryce Harper came from money or, what his parents' situation was, but it wasn't a bad situation. And all he did was ball, play baseball, baseball, baseball. And he was groomed for, basically the American style.
Yeah, I mean, I believe I want to say they had money because I believe his father is an attorney. I may be wrong about that, but I believe that is possibly it. But yeah, if you remember, his father really learned and studied the rules, and he, as funny as it may sound, technically Bryce Harper is a high school dropout who went and got his GED so he could get into junior college and get into the MLB draft quicker. So, his father knew all, exactly all along what he was doing and how he was going to go about it. So, I give them, a lot of credit for managing his career like that. And then, of course, being smart enough to kind of get out of the way now that it's, underway. I mean, you don't hear anything really about his dad. So, you got to give the guy credit for that.
Yeah.
So, and then, I did see on the humorous note that it was your guy Cameron Maybin, who is the taco hero for this World Series. He stole the base in the top of the 11th, so there will be free tacos. I was wondering if we were going to
You
get
or
one at all, so.
yeah, I know. Oh, when they do make it available, is that you hit enough Taco Bell?
Yeah, there's actually not one far from my house, so I didn't do it last year for Lindor, but I may do it this year. I may stop and get the free taco. So,
I actually
just
don't eat that stuff, but I may just drag my wife there. So since she can have two tacos.
yeah, it's not something I do a lot. Looking at me, you'd think I'd eat fast food every day, but I really don't. But yeah, it's one of those things, free is always attractive. So I would definitely, take the trip over there for a free, a good old free taco. There's, nothing wrong with that. So we shall see. But all right, we move along to game three. They get enough off today. I'm sure we'll talk more in depth about this tomorrow, but real quick, the pitching matchup, we're going to get Yu Darvish against Lance McCullers. And if you've listened to the podcast before, I'm not a gigantic Lance McCullers fan. He did have a really good relief outing. But I really think this favors the Dodgers here, Dan. I think if the Astros are going to lose a game at home, McCullers is going to be the guy who chokes it away. Do you like Darvish better? I mean, obviously he's got a lot of experience against the Astros. Or do you think, McCullers at home with as well as they've played, are you kind of leaning that way?
I didn't even think about the fact of looking into, and I'll have to do that tonight, tomorrow morning. I didn't even think about looking into Yu's stats at Minute Maid Park, right? That's where we're playing these days.
Yes.
So, the way he pitched against the Cubs, I think he's ready for the playoffs. And I'm kind of with you on the McCullers choking. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm just not a just not a fan. Like I said, I know he had that incredible relief outing, but hey, so did David Price a few times and he still couldn't start a game. So we'll see. Normally with the way my luck goes, when I dislike a guy, he goes out and has a fantastic outing. So again, that's probably the best thing for the Astros is the fact that I don't like the I don't like McCullers going in there. But all right, we had another managerial vacancy, Dan, and again it's a a team that was in the playoffs and actually one game away from being in this World Series. The Yankees announced today that they will not be bringing back Joe Girardi. How big of a shock is this for you? Because I was really surprised when I heard the rumor. It might have been a day or two ago, and I just thought it was kind of a joke because I thought he was a lock to come back. Are you shocked?
I'm hugely shocked. I mean, I don't really know what he could have done different.
Yeah.
You know, to get them into the World Series. I just, that's the one I don't see. I mean, it's absolutely blew, not, I don't want to say blew my mind, because I think today we're just not as surprised by things at all. But I mean, I was definitely taken back that they fired him.
Yeah, well, you know, and what's even weirder is, you know, now he was there 10 years. He never had an under 500 season in the 10 years he was there. You know, and I'm just kind of like, okay, well, you know, I know, like, I heard, I think it was Kevin Millar bring up the fact that I guess Girardi's son is a pretty good ball player, and they're thinking – maybe he'll go and spend time with his family. But I got to tell you, you know, if I'm the Washington Nationals, I think I'm on the phone with this guy already, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, the other guys, you know, no disrespect to Dusty, Farrell, but you know, when it came to him, when I heard Joe Girardi, I'm like, wow, maybe the Cubs should just get a new coach too.
Yeah, it, you know, they did kind of pass on him before. He was a free agent in the Cup, an opportunity to bring him on board, and they went a different route. But yeah, I mean, you know, this is one of those things. I was, because now all I'm thinking is, okay, well, you're gonna go get a new manager. Who are you gonna get that's better? You know, I mean, obviously the hot name was Alex Cora, but the Red Sox have already locked him down. Even though they can't announce anything until the World Series is open, because he's the Astros bench coach. But I mean, you know, I did, and the sad part is I think they were pretty serious about this, but I heard some people mention they think they should hire A-Rod. I just couldn't believe they could be that stupid. He's fantastic on TV. Doesn't mean he's going to be a good manager. So, yeah. You know, just because he has a personality for television doesn't mean he can handle it in the dugout. But yeah, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think, you know, running things through off the top of my head, Dan, and I can't figure out, you know, where they're going to go. I mean, they're not going to call a Dusty or a John Farrell. You know, that's not something, you know, they would probably do. You know, I know, like, they've had Robbie Thompson as a coach there for a long time, you know, as well as Tony Pena, but is that, you know, that's not really, you know, no, neither of those names really kind of jump out at you.
Well, here
you
go.
You know,
go.
Is
I mean,
there
I,
a, there a
I,
name,
I
you know, I mean,
grab an
is, I'm adding
I did grab an article before, you know, the podcast started. You can go find it on Bing, and I'll tweet it out later. But this is the New York Daily Sports, and I don't know how close this is to Brian Cashman and company, but we've got five guys. The first one, you know, we're looking at a couple 50-year-olds, and you'll be surprised by the last one, how young he is. But the first one is Josh Paul. He's 42 years old. He was a catcher in the White Sox organization.
Yeah.
Do you remember him? I don't remember a whole lot about him.
Yeah,
he played with the Sox, the Angels, and the Rays, the Devil Rays, not the regular Rays. Number two is Tim Mayring. He's 50 years old. And going back to that, the first guy, what was his name again? Josh Paul. Yeah,
Josh
I guess
Paul.
He's from Illinois. He's from Illinois.
Yeah.
So Mayring was a Red Sox. He retired in 97. He was in player development with the Reds, and I guess right now he's vice president of baseball operations under Cashman. So I think that kind of guy, I would think you'd keep him in the office. I don't know if you bring him on the field. The next one, 51-year-old Jay Bell. He came up with the Twins in 84. He played 18 seasons. You remember when guys used to do that? Pirates, Royals, D-backs,
yeah.
And the Mets. And he was on the World Series team in 2001. And then I guess he was a bench coach, and he's a Class A Tampa Yankees coach right now. So then we got Kevin Long, who's 50. He's supposedly the guy who gave Curtis Granderson his swing back, but then he kept it with him during the playoffs. So Granderson isn't playing for the Dodgers right now. And they thought that he would actually be, the next guy in the line to take over TC's spot, but we, Callaway took that. And then the last guy, Yankee connection, named after Reggie Jackson, 36-year-old Reggie Willis, who named his son Jackson, go figure. I guess right now he was hired. He's and this one I think is more of a long shot, but he's the outfield and base running coordinator. So I don't know what you think of those five.
Yeah, and I know the Yankees. Occasionally they'll do this kind of thing. Remember, they pulled Buck Showalter out of nowhere when he was named the manager. I would be interested, like I always kind of think former player when they, when they kind of start. And I was thinking, okay, well, what Yankee former player is kind of out there besides Mattingly? And I was wondering if maybe they would give Willie Randolph another look. He had that kind of blah run with the Mets. I think he was there 3 or 4 years, and they didn't really do anything, but obviously he's a longtime Yankee, a former captain. He has some managerial experience. So yeah, you would wonder if, maybe his name would pop up, but I haven't really seen a name that would impress me. I mean, did you like any of those guys on that list you went over?
I'm not sure. I really don't know a whole lot about their, their careers and whatnot, but the one thing I do know is catchers seem to make the best managers sometimes, and we had a catcher in there. But again, I think that was the guy who was the VP of baseball operations, and I haven't really heard of a guy being pulled from the office to be on the field, unless of course he's the GM and trying to be the coach at the same time. I forgot, was that the Marlins or the whatever?
The Braves.
The Braves, there we go. We really don't hear about that. Guys coming out from the office. So, I mean, I would think it would be a guy, coming out of the minor leagues.
Yeah, well, they do mention, I found another article, and their AAA manager is a guy by the name of Al Podrecki. I believe he was a former major league pitcher. So yeah, he's been there 2 straight seasons, and they had a winning record under him last year. They were 86-55. So he's the AAA guy if they're looking to go that route. I know the other article I found gives Davey Martinez another mention. So you wonder if, he's finally going to get off the Cubs bench and, get that promotion to, to the next level and finally get to be a manager. He's one of those guys who've been in waiting for what seems like a very long time, along with Joey Cora, whose name we haven't heard. Obviously his brother Alex, like I said, is going to be hired by the Red Sox, but Joey's name hasn't really come up in any of these openings. And, it did for a while, especially after the White Sox won the World Series back in, 2005? It seems like it's been a long time now. Well, I guess technically it has. Maybe that's the deal. They do mention Trey Hillman, The former Royals manager actually managed in Korea last year. And a couple other names, like I mentioned Rob Thompson, he was Girardi's bench coach. And then the other guy, the Yankees third base coach, is a guy by the name of Joe, I'm going to guess this is Espada. And he's also the infielder instructor. He's been with the team since 2015, and they describe him as sharp, energetic, and popular. And he does have some winter ball managerial experience. You know, these are possibly the kind of hires that, you know, the Yankees would make. You know, that would be in the realm of a Buck Showalter hiring. It would kind of be like, oh, hey, wait, we don't really know this guy, but here he is. You know, the Yankees are giving him their top job. So it's, you know, it's going to be an interesting search now. And again, you know, like I said, I mean, did they just make life easier for the Nationals, you know, by putting Girardi out there? Because, you know, that's the kind of guy the Nationals need. I know they were kind of looking for a guy to appeal to Bryce Harper, but I believe winning would appeal to Bryce Harper. And if you get a guy in there like Girardi, like I said, it's been 10 years of, you know, not being under 500. I believe he's 200 career games over 500 for his career record. I thought he was 910 and to 710. So it's, you know, it's definitely a big, big name that just kind of got let out onto the managerial pond, or however you want to look at it. So this could really, you know, really swing things in, you know, that type of direction for Washington. I mean, I just kind of assume that it would, you know, it would be an easy hire. And I know Mike Francesa came out and said, his quote was that Joe Girardi could get a job in 15 minutes if he wants one. And he's probably not wrong about that. I mean, there literally would be teams, even teams with managers already, that would be lining up to bring a guy like Girardi in. You know, he's just proven pretty much beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is a quality manager. And, you know, again, if he wants to manage, he'll manage. You know, who knows, maybe he wants a year off, or, you know, maybe he's just burnt out. You know, New York is a difficult place to manage, and, you know, that, you know, he might just say, hey, that's it. You know, I've had enough. I'm going away. And, you know, it was nice knowing you. I'm sure, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network or Fox Sports or somebody would want to bring him in to do commentary. You know, you could always pick up a little extra money that way. Not that he probably needs it, but, you know, so we'll have to see, you know, where he lands and who the Yankees get to replace him, because it was a big surprise to me that move was made. You know, I knew I had heard that his contract was up. That news came out a couple days ago. And, you know, but it was kind of like, oh, okay, they're really not bringing him back. I find that really hard to believe. So, but all right, Dan, you know, we had a couple
you said, the contract was up. Like you said, the contract was up, and yeah, maybe he didn't want to go back, like you said.
Yeah, well, you know, the announcement made it seem like it was the Yankees' choice. You know, even Girardi put out a statement. But, yeah, you know, you never know. You know, now we did have a couple other hirings today, Dan. You know, the Indians filled their pitching coach vacancy. They went with Carl Willis. As you know, their pitching coach, Mickey Callaway, was hired to manage the Mets. So Carl Willis was, you know, hired to fill in that spot. Interestingly, the Cardinals were able to pluck Mike Maddox away from the Nationals as their pitching coach.
Sure.
You know, he's always been kind of held as one of the top pitching coaches out there. So, yeah, you know, he's going to get to work with the Cardinals, and we'll have to see what he kind of does with that staff. But interestingly, Dan, I did not hear or see this reported locally, but apparently Cubs are in the process of just cleaning house as they let go three more coaches. You know, we know Chris Bosio was gone. They got rid of, they actually got rid of their hitting coach, which is John Molly. And then third base coach Gary Jones was also let go. It looks like they're counting Bosio as one of the coaches gone here. So it was just really too recently. They hired Chili Davis to come on as the hitting coach. Now, he was formerly with the Red Sox. No surprise there. Yeah. Here you go, Dan. They're also bringing in former Red Sox coach Brian Butterfield to be the third base coach. So Theo, right back in line with hiring his former Red Sox guys, he brings in two of them. And apparently what they're attempting to do is bring in Jim Hickey as the pitching coach. Now, if the name sounds familiar, it's because he was Joe Madden's guy in Tampa Bay while Madden was down there. So while Theo may have made the hires for a hitting coach and a third base coach, it's definitely Madden who's looking at the pitching coach here because they're trying to get their guy. You can also, don't forget that Eric Hinsky was let go as well. But what they're going to do to fill his spot is they're promoting minor league hitting coordinator Andy Haynes to that assistant hitting coach job, and he'll probably take over as the first base coach as well. So it's going to be a whole new staff behind Madden, Dan. So he's out of guys to blame. I guess it all falls on him now if it doesn't work next year.
Yeah, well, we had talked about that when Bosio was let go, was the fact that I heard the rumor. I didn't know if it was true or not, that, and I didn't know his name either, but that Hickey was going to be available. Turns out, like you said, he was available, and he's now going to be donning a Cubs uniform. And I feel like ever since Joe came in, there's a new base coaches every single year. Or is that just me?
Oh, no. You know, I know those guys change up quite a bit. You know, they get better job offers, or the team moves them around. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me. But Jones had been there for a couple of years, hadn't he, as the third base guy?
Yeah, he had been there for a while.
So, yeah, you know, that's a little bit of a shock that they let him go. I mean, I thought he did a pretty decent job, but, you know, obviously Theo wanted to get another former Red Sox in there because, you know, with Farrell gone, they were all available. So, you know, you gotta run those guys out. So we definitely have. I think the only guy left on John Farrell, or the only guys left on Farrell's staff I saw were the the bullpen coach and then like the assistant hitting instructor are the only two guys left. Everybody else have been poached by somebody else. So you know, while Alex Cora has taken over a great team, he's going to have to really build a staff to go with it.
Yeah, well, and you know, like you said, it's Madden's not going to have anyone to blame next year. While I think everyone can really see through the fact that, well, he didn't really point any fingers, but I think the fingers get pointed once you're out of here, right? You get the old Donald Trump, Vince McMahon, you're fired kind of thing.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious they were pointing something at Bosio when he was the first one to go and they didn't hit. You know, when the pitching coach gets canned because you don't hit, you know there's something going on there. But again, he was an inherited guy. You know, Madden didn't have a say-so on if he wanted him. And, you know, I'm surprised they lasted this long, but I guess when you win the World Series, it buys you an extra year. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and here's the other thing. You bring in James Hickey next year, and what happens when Mike Montgomery, Justin Wilson, you know, there's, I can't remember, there's a few other guys, and Rondon or Rodon, or I can't remember how to say his last name, and Strope don't really improve and they stay the same guy. I think with the term, the longevity that these guys have been in the league, that things aren't really going to change to get that much better. I think the only guy who has room for improvement because of his age is Carl Edwards. and is Hickey going to be that guy? And how is it Baggio's fault when you're putting the kid in every single night in situations he's never been in? And I know they're supposed to be pros and nothing's supposed to affect them, but you got the kid with, you know, world championship, World Series on his shoulders every time he comes out. He was basically defending it every time.
Oh, see, you're just being negative, though, now, because Jim Hickey will come in and fix all of that. And, you know, Rodon will come in and, you know, go back to being a shutdown guy, and Strope will be the best setup man in the game, and he'll fix Justin Wilson, and, you know, Mike Montgomery will be the best swing man. You're just, you gotta stop being so negative.
Yeah. I thought I was just being realistic. I mean, Mike Montgomery is the guy.
Well, you might be.
You know, that's what killed me.
Sadly, you may be more right than people will be willing to admit.
Yeah. And then I get, according to former Cub fan, real Cub fans that are back to being real Cub fans, I'll be the Indians fan. Yeah, I guess I'm always the Indians fan. Put my head inside out. They still suck. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. See, that would be perfect for you. So, you know, right up your alley. But
surprised it took 2 years for his name to get all his guys in, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd that a team that, you know, wins a World Series and goes to, you know, a championship series the year after. You know, these are big changes for a team like that. So you wonder how it's going to kind of reflect, you know, onto the field. You know, I mean, I know hitting coach is such a weird position because not all the guys actually work with the hitting coach. A lot of them just have their own guy. So I don't know what kind of effect Davis will have. You know, we'll have to see. I mean, you got to remember, you're bringing in a guy. The Red Sox hit the least amount of home runs in baseball last year. So, you know, I don't know what that says about his hit, you know, about his ability or, you know, the guys. I mean, it's such a difficult position to gauge, you know, because obviously last year there was nothing wrong with the Cubs hitting and, you know, Maley or however they're pronouncing it was the greatest coach in baseball. But now they struggle, and he's out of a job. So it's hit or miss, so to speak, when it comes to batting. Where's the rim shot there? Oh, so.
Yeah, you got to scroll down for
but
that.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and of course, you know, you and I will get to see this up close and personal. And then if it works out, great. If it doesn't, well, you and I will be the first guy to point fingers because nobody else in the area does because for whatever reason they just love Joe Maddon to death. So.
Well, I mean, 108 years and he won the World Series. But then,
yeah.
You know, a guy, you know, and that's what kills me. It's just, it's the complete opposite when it comes to the Cubs and the Sox. Because Ozzie brought them, so to speak, the World Series, and nobody, they care less about him.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, that guy sucks. You know, I remember watching the World Series, and my favorite guy on that team was Jermaine Dye. I loved watching him in Oakland before that team fell apart. And, you know, Jermaine Dye went to Chicago. Barry Zito went to San Francisco. And forget it, you know, who else was on that team in the 03, 04. Jermaine Dye was the MVP for the World Series. And all the White Sox fans are like, oh, it should have been so-and-so. Shouldn't have been Jermaine Dye. I'm like, were you watching the same World Series I was?
Yeah, well, you know, that's how we do things. So, you know,
now,
but you know, before I forget, I wanted to let you know the Brewers made a couple signings.
Mm-hmm.
They inked Chase Anderson to a 2-year deal. So he's going to be around. It was for $11.75 million guaranteed, but apparently it can go to $31.35 million if he reaches all his incentives. And then they announced they're bringing Eric Sogard back for another year, but they didn't mention his monetary deal there. But I didn't realize Anderson was 12-4 last year in just 25 starts for them with a 2.74 ERA. He had a real good year for them.
Yeah, pretty solid year.
So.
You know what I forgot to mention earlier?
He was arbitration eligible. Uh-oh, what'd you forget?
No, when you brought up how long ago the White Sox World Series was, and you don't want to forget about it because the mothership and everyone keeps forgetting about it, and you're really getting White Sox fans upset.
Yeah, it was kind of humorous that a large media outlet like the Mickey Mouse Network forgot the White Sox had won a World Series. I don't know how that gets past a stat checker or, somebody like that, but, that's definitely somebody who needs to be, let go. Obviously, if you can't figure out who won the World Series in 2005, you don't need your job when that's what you're supposed to be doing. So,
especially today, with the search engines and everything just being there at your fingertips.
It's not really difficult to be like, oh, okay, well, you can just Bing World Series champions and find out who they all were. It's not like you've really got to go digging for these things. I mean, you can go back and, find out who won the very first World Series that way. So, yeah, it's just, it was kind of a joke that, it ended up playing out that way. And, it just figures it has to be the White Sox they forgot about,
Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, sadly for them. But, the Joe Girardi firing, kind of sticking with the White Sox, this is strictly rumor, but, I heard some of my White Sox fans bring it up. They're like, do you think the White Sox will pull a Cubs and let go of Renteria to give them one of the worst, managerial records and hire Joe Girardi as their manager?
I actually heard that, too, on one of the local stations I was flipping between, that they thought maybe the White Sox would bring him in. But the Sox aren't ready to win. If they were closer to winning, maybe I would see that, but they're still a couple years away, so I don't think they would make that move yet. And I did forget to ask you, what did you think of the Vin Scully opening to the game? I personally really enjoyed it, but what did you think?
We got in the top of the bottom of the first, so you have to kind
of
talk about it so I can look it up. I'll have to look it up, but kind of give me
he was supposed to throw out the first pitch, and he gets out to the mound, and there's no catch. So he's asking for a catcher, and Steve Yeager comes out, and of course he gets a gigantic little hand because I think he played for the Dodgers for like 15 years. And then he goes to throw the ball, and he stops and says he hurt his arm, and he can't make the throw. So he asks for a lefty to come out and relieve him, and Fernando comes out.
Oh,
and
okay.
Throws
I
out the
see
first
Fernando.
Pitch.
I didn't. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I didn't see that.
It was quite interesting the way they set that up. So yeah, you'll have to look it up. I got a kick out of it, but I can't forget we're running out of show. It is Thursday night, which means we get a quality NFL game with color rush uniforms, which I love, Dan. Tonight we get the Miami Dolphins minus Jay Cutler, who is injured, at the Baltimore Ravens. Not exactly what you would call a marquee game, so the NFL is probably lucky that there's no World Series game to go up against tonight because people will actually watch it. I do not have Mr. Fantasy's pick yet, Dan. I assume I will get that at 7:20 because the game starts at 7:25. But since you were a whopping 14-1 last week, why don't you tell everybody who you're going with, and then I'll let everybody know who Stu and I are going with.
I believe I picked the Ravens.
Yes, you did. So I'm
yeah.
frightened by the fact that you remember, but that's a little scary. Stu actually agreed with you. He wanted to go with the Ravens as well, so he's going that route. I decided I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I need to make up some games on you guys, and I figure Thursday night is as good a place as it to any. And I do honestly think the Dolphins can win this game because the Ravens can't stop the run, and Jay Ajayi is a quality running back, so I'm hoping he racks up a lot of yards tonight. So, yeah, that's where we are now. Dan and Stu are going to be on the Ravens, and right now I'm with the Dolphins. Again, you know, Mr. Fantasy likes to wait till the last minute there. It doesn't really make a difference in his picks because he's as bad as I am. But that's how he likes to do it, and we're not going to, you know, try to change him because it's just too late. It just really is.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and you mentioned you're going with the Dolphins because of Ajayi, and, you know, there was kind of, I don't want to say hype before the season, more so as the hype behind his draft in fantasy. And I just felt like this guy hasn't really put up the numbers to be a first-round draft pick for fantasy. And from what little I've seen, I just haven't been all that impressed.
No, it's been a, you know, kind of an odd fantasy year for some of those guys. Because, you know, last year I think Ajayi had 3 200-yard rushing games. And, you know, you just kind of wonder what the heck happened to that offense. And, I mean, he's still, I looked it up here, he's actually still 7th in the NFL in rushing. So he's not having a terrible year, but the fact that he hasn't scored any touchdowns obviously is going to kill him in fantasy. So, yeah, it seems like a down year for him, though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, maybe tonight will be the night and he'll have a breakout night, but with the way the NFL is, who the hell knows what will actually happen. So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing I've noticed, and it hasn't been just us, it's been kind of the consensus from local radio to national that I've heard that when, you know, I don't want to say the experts, because the experts always know what they're talking about, but the guys who talk about the game, they're like, man, I just don't understand what the hell's going on with the NFL this year. And you can add all the protests in, and I guess the networks have finally gone with what I've been saying, and don't show it. Who cares? I think it takes away from the game. I'm sure you have a generation, you know, the generation before you, that might be boycotting it a little bit more, where I think it's to the point, I think the NFL, the ratings are slipping a little bit, not so much because of the protests and the BS, but more so because the game just hasn't really been that great. At least, you know, the games you're getting.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, when you kind of look at it, I mean, you know, you and I had to sit through the Bears and the Panthers last week. That was a horrible game. You know, imagine if you got Cleveland and Tennessee in your area. You know, it was, what, 9-9 going into overtime?
Yeah.
Oh, so, you know, it's just, it's one of the things, you know, and I know. Hopefully tonight's a little better, but who knows what we'll get. All right, music time for Ken and I to head out, but I think we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to do it all again. Now you know what to do while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Hit that link. Get over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. Give that a like, please. We'd appreciate it if you did that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which, of course, is at Sports Time Radio. Hunt Dan and I down on Twitter if you'd like. We'll always get back to you if you do that. Now, it's a big thanks for you listening live. It's cool when you come out and do that. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want over at TuneIn.com.